Comedy Floss News and no political spin. This is Truth Radio by Internet. Thanks to our sponsor, Neemwell.com, because here, the expression is still free. Don't tase me, bro. Already, it's a media classic phrase, and it's the tip of an iceberg of a psychological warfare campaign which represents the battle between you and the Matrix itself. You're on the next level.
Would you do me a favor and push me on to the next level?
And this is Fintan Dunn reporting. You are on the next level on breakfornews.com. Thanks for joining me. And it's great to be back. Have I ever mentioned Neemwell.com to you, by the way? Hey, I should. You see, Kathy McMahon of Neemwell.com formulates potent Indian neem in a hypoallergenic base of creams and lotions and oils. You can check that out yourself at neemwell.com. It's NEEMWELL.com. Or you can email the Queen of Neem herself directly, KATHY at neemwell.com. Well, folks, it's great to be back on air again after a break. I've certainly missed doing the shows, and maybe you've even missed listening to them. But good to take a break, and we'll come back refreshed and reinvigorated and ready to tackle some of the stuff that's going on. And that was exemplified for me recently by something which has already become a bit of a media classic. "Don't tase me, bro," were the words by Andrew Meyer as he was wrestled to the ground and tasered by a group of Florida cops. All that happened because Andrew Meyer had put a question to John Kerry at a meeting in University of Florida where Kerry was giving a speech. Now, there's a lot more to this story than meets the eye, and indeed, in the breakfornews.com forum, Abkar was one of the first to spot that, and others had their suspicions as well. We'll be taking a look at the reasons why it is Psy War, but also we'll be looking beneath the surface of that to the greater psychological warfare campaign being waged by the system. And we'll be taking a look how that is, in fact, symptomatic and emblematic of the very battle for existence itself between you and the Matrix. And that, my friends, is your primary battle in life. The battle to be. The battle to self-express, to individuate. So all that's ahead. But we'll start it off, very simply, by just taking a look at this political event which took place down in Florida when Andrew Meyer challenged John Kerry. And let's have a little listen to some of the audio from that incident. It's been on YouTube, it's been all over the TV, and it was quite a media event. But here's Andrew Meyer putting it up to John Kerry.
How could you concede the election on the day? How could you concede the 2004 election on the day? When in this book it says there were 5 million votes that were suppressed and you won the election. Didn't you want to be president? I'm not even done yet. I have 2 more questions. Also, were you a member of Skull and Bones from college and Bush? Were you in the same secret society as Bush? Were you in Skull and Bones? Thank you for cutting my mic. Thank you. Are you going to arrest me? Excuse me. Excuse me. What are you arresting me for?
Whoa. Is anybody watching this? I'm not doing this. I want you to do this.
Oh yeah, it was great TV. It was a great video. And maybe that's not surprising because the video camera, which was recording it, was just feet away from Andrew Meyer, and he brought that video camera into the meeting and handed it to somebody. And according to reports, he was saying, are you taping this? Are you getting this? Just before he put those questions to John Kerry. Okay. Well, one of the things that gives it away for you folks, without any other evidence, is that this was all over the media and all over YouTube and all over the newspapers. This was big, folks. And in the world we live in, things don't get big unless they're meant to be big. And the other dead giveaway that this is part of a Psy War campaign is that it involved John Kerry. Need I say any more? John Kerry, the skull and bones man who's responsible for making sure that the will of the people did not express itself in 2004 and that the presidency of George W. Bush would continue. But hey, isn't that what Andrew Marr was saying or implying when he was asking John Kerry about being a bones man? Didn't you really want to win the election, he was asking. So if Mars is saying that to Kerry, then Mars must be one of the good guys, eh? Well, hold on. It's a bit more subtle than that. This is Psy War by some of the slickest operators in the business. In fact, the US Empire, although it has a military side to it, a military enforcement arm, that enforcement arm is simply one part of what is in essence a psychological warfare empire. You see the evidence of that in the other Psy War stuff going on about peak oil and global warming, etc. In an information era, warfare is information and information is warfare. And in the Matrix, information is also warfare, as we'll see. But anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's just get back to Andrew Marr. Okay, if it was psychological warfare, where did they get the idea from? Well, maybe they got the idea from this classic piece, I'm kidding, of course, of Monty Python stuff from Monty Python and the Holy Grail, where Graham Chapman confronts Michael Palin. Chapman is playing the king, Palin is playing the peasant, and this is what happens.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony. Be quiet! Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I'm an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up, will you? Shut up!
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Well, Michael Palin classically playing to the gallery there in that Monty Python extract, as Andrew Marr was equally playing to the gallery at that meeting in the University of Florida, as Apkar and others suspected already on Break for News Forum. Yeah, the audience didn't quite go with that, you know. The people who were actually there, they felt there was something not quite right about it. And they were a bit reluctant to come to the support of Andrew Marr. So their judgment instinctively in the room when it was happening was that there was something funny about it. Yeah, it was indeed a staged event. We've got more than one view of that, you know. And some of the other views of that incident from another video camera which was there are quite instructive. Go to the Break for News forum. On the homepage of Break for News, just click on the photo of Andrew that goes with this audio and it will take you to the post in Break for News forum. And you'll get links there to other YouTube shots of what happened. In one of those, you can clearly see, in addition to the two police officers who tackled Andrew Marr, there are two suits. I call them suits because maybe you'll know what I refer to when I say suits. Yeah, and if you look carefully, and I've taken a graphic snapshot of the incident, you'll see in the other takes of that event that one of the suits leans over and says something into the ear of the police officer, who then makes the first intervention to stop Andrew Marr speaking. It's a very half-hearted intervention, and it's not designed to actually stop him, but it is designed for effect. And I put it to you that that guy in the suit was part of the operation and he was prompting the police officer to make that first intervention. That every single thing about this was scripted, including that intervention. But let's look again more seriously at the issue of where they got the inspiration from this. No, it wasn't from Monty Python, but it was from this. The inspiration for that totally staged tasering of Andrew Marr arose from a real tasering which took place on another college campus, folks, on the 14th of November 2006 at UCLA, when Mostafa Tabatabeinzad, an Iranian-American student, was tasered multiple times by the campus police for allegedly refusing to leave the college library. This was a real event, folks, a real tasering, and this guy was not going ow, ow, ow as they tasered him, because he was being tasered with full force on drive stun, and that was having a serious effect on him. Here's some of the audio from this. It's on YouTube also, and it preceded this event in University of Florida, this fake event. It preceded it by around about a year. 14th of November 2006 at UCLA. Here we go. This is the real stuff, folks.
Here's your Patriot Act! Here's your fucking abuse of power!
Stop fighting us!
I'm not fighting you!
Comply with the law!
Stand down! Can you please get your badge number?
I like your badge number.
I got tased for no reason. I was leaving this godforsaken place. You stopped me. You're abusing your power. Here's your justice at work, University.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Fuck off.
You just shot him off. You just
stand up.
Stand up or you'll get tased again.
Stand up. Get up. Get up. Stand up.
Don't do that.
Stand
up or you'll get tased again.
Go.
Get up. Stand up. Get up.
So wrong.
Get up. Up. Stand up.
Okay, that's what the real thing sounds like, folks. That was a real event when Terence Duren was the police officer involved. And Terence Duren, a very interesting guy, he was actually fired from the Long Beach Police Department. And it takes something to get fired from the Long Beach Police Department. But he went on to have a very checkered career at the University of California. He was involved in a shooting of a homeless man and the choking of a student with a nightstick prior to this tasering event. And this was a real live issue on campus, and it prompted a great deal of protest, and there was an official investigation. And in fact, there is a federal case currently underway. We're waiting for a trial date in early 2008, where Mostafa is actually suing on a federal level for what happened to him in that incident. So this was the real life incident, which provided the inspiration to the Cywar guys, who figured, hey, there's how you can make an impact on the student population, get something onto YouTube, the whole model was there for the operation, folks, and how you can duplicate the essential dynamics of that UCLA tasering incident for your own political purposes. As we look a little further into this, we have to look at what the political purpose of all that was. Why were they going to the trouble to stage this event? I'll get into that in just a second. Let's hit some music. It is great to be back, folks. You are on The Next Level on breakfornews.com, and I'll be right back.
As you look back upon the years, remembering your hopes and fears, it seems that everyone you found was lying to deceive. You always were the your love to anyone. His promises would always be the ones of broken dreams. never try to run away. You always have the faith inside that helped you to believe. Don't chastise yourself, you know. We've all loved and lost. You're just searching for someone to call.
And you're very welcome back. You're on The Next Level on breakfornews.com. You know, one of the great things about incidents like this is that if you do the analysis, it tells you a great deal about what's actually going on. So getting back to Andrew Marr, he's been offered a job by Greg Palast, which is hardly surprising. Andrew Marr is a telecommunications student, so this wannabe journalist could soon be a real journalist, because he has apparently been offered a job by Greg Palast. Now, that's reported on Bradblog. Bradblog is on our list of CIA fakes, by the way. And if you don't know what a CIA fake is, just go to Google, type CIA fake, and the first article you get is our August 2005 exposé of what it means to be a CIA fake. And you can check one of the 108 websites there is Bradblog, which is reporting on this incident and reporting that Greg Palast is going to offer Andrew Marr a job. Now, Greg Palast is the guy whose book Andrew Marr was waving in the air, that yellow book called Armed Madhouse. And I'm not surprised that Greg Palast is offering the guy a job. That was one of the best pieces of book promotion I've ever seen. That was terrific. I'm sure most people had never heard of Armed Madhouse, and many of them had never heard of Greg Palast. But after that huge exposure in the media and on YouTube, they've heard of it now. Now, you know that one of the objectives of these kinds of operations and of the entire psychological warfare and CIA tactics is to get their own people out there as the representatives of alternative opinion, to position and place them in the right place as the opposition, and so to have a controlled opposition. So that was part of promoting Greg Palast as an opponent of the system and engineering Andrew Marr into pole position to be a future blogger or reporter or whatever. Is Andrew working for the agency? Hey, you work it out. I don't know. Far be it from me to tell you who's working for the CIA. I mean, the CIA, they wouldn't go and recruit a student to work for the agency, would they? Oh, no, they wouldn't do anything underhand like that. Have we got a job for you, kid? You're going to go a long way. So that's one aspect and one objective of any intelligence operation, is to get your own people in the right place. So besides that, another key objective would be to send a message. And the messages are quite subtle, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But one of the really simple messages, isn't subtle at all, is, you know, if you kick up, you could get your ass tasered. You know, if you stand up to the system, if you are a vocal opponent of the occupation of Iraq, if you don't like what's happening in the society around you, well, maybe you should keep quiet about it, or else you might get your ass tasered. So there's another straightforward message. Here's another message. The kind of people who stand up to the system, well, they're self-promoting lunatics. You know, they're unstable self-publicists, you see. So don't take them seriously. They're guys like that guy Andrew Marr. The kind of opponents who stand up to the system look like that. So that's a message being sent, if you like, to Middle America through the media in general, that it is the fruitcakes who opposed the system. And that kind of language was used in media reports about Andrew Marr. And here's one, for example, on the National Ledger, an article by Linda Johnson. John Kerry was speaking, but Andrew Marr wouldn't shut up. At an event on the University of Florida campus, the 21-year-old student was trying to tout a book by Greg Palast that is popular among the conspiracy crowd that is still smarting over the American election in 2000, 2002, and 2004. They believe they were robbed. Millions of votes were not counted, and only they are wise enough to see this. You get it? Andrew Marr is part of the conspiracy crowd. And the conspiracy crowd are kind of a fruitcake, unstable, self-publicizing crew. So that is a message being sent by that kind of coverage. And speaking of conspiracy crew, it isn't just the mainstream media. The Prison Planet website is replicating an article on Red Dirt Report, which says that the most famous man on the internet, University of Florida student Andrew Marr, is, according to a friend speaking on the Alex Jones Show, a 9/11 truther. And it's worth reading that report on prisonplanet.com. You'll get these links, as I say, in the Break for News forum. Just click on the photo that goes with this audio on the homepage of Break for News or in the archive, audio archive of Break for News. Reading on down through that Prison Planet report, it ends like this. It's time to end this like sheep to slaughter mentality that's so rife here in America. It's time to stand up to corrupt authority figures who think they can wield power over us and use torture devices to make us comply. Are you getting it? The implication of that paragraph. It's time to stand up to corrupt authority figures who think they can wield power over us and use torture devices to make us comply. Let me exaggerate for effect. It's like as if you stood up at a meeting and said, it's time to speak truth to power. And if that means having to get into a situation where you get dragged into a room and beaten up by five police officers for maybe 4 or 5 hours, then I, for one, am prepared to do it. And I hope you're all with me. Aren't you? You get it? So this is in the pretense of standing up to authority. It's reminding you that torture devices could actually be used to make sure that you don't stand up to power. So that's another aspect of the Psy War campaign. But some of you may be saying, well, you know, okay, right, I can see what they're at in terms of positioning people to be fake opposition, in terms of trying to intimidate us and paint us in a certain way. But hey, the centrality of what Andrew Marr was saying was that John Kerry is a skull and bones guy and he threw the election to George Bush. Now, if that's the case, and of course we know it is the case, why would they be telling everybody what's actually going on behind the scenes? Why would they be pointing that out? Wouldn't they be keeping quiet about that instead of, like, telling everybody? Well, that's where it does get subtle. And you have to understand the psychological tactics that they're using. It's cognitive dissonance, folks. You see, they're giving that message out to the great unwashed masses who maybe aren't 9/11 conspiracists and who are not fully informed as to what's going on. And they're sending them a message which is not fully credible and yet has an air of credibility to it that, hey, John Kerry may have thrown the election. Which means what exactly? Well, it means that the system is in control. I mean, so many people went out and voted for John Kerry, and yet here they are telling them that John Kerry was working for the other side all along. So what effect does that have on you? Well, if you get clear, unambiguous evidence that, let's say, a taped audio of John Kerry and George Bush sitting down and planning together how Kerry would throw the election, right? Let's say you get that kind of hard evidence of it. That might make you angry. That might make you want to change things. But you're not getting that kind of hard evidence. You're getting potentially fruitcake evidence obliquely, and so you're not quite sure whether to believe it or not. But it undermines your self-confidence. It undermines your confidence in what's going on in the system, and it makes you feel powerless. And those are the kind of psychological objectives which they want to achieve. So that's why they would let you in on it, is in order to undermine you, but without sufficient certainty to empower you. And so you end up, to use the old phrase, caught between a rock and a hard place. And speaking of rocks, let me give you another example of how you would use this technique. If you want to wreck somebody's head, to use that expression. Well, of course, one way you could do it is you could come up outside their house at night and you could throw a huge rock through their window, and then you could come back 5 or 6 nights later and throw another big rock through their window. But that actually might make them angry, put them on their guard. They might call the cops and they might actually go after your ass. They might in fact be empowered by that kind of activity, which is designed to undermine and destabilize them. Now, here's a much more clever method of doing it. Don't throw a huge rock through their window. Come up and throw a tiny pebble against the window, a very small one, and beat it. And so the person comes out, and then, was that something hitting the window? And 3 nights later, do it again. Then leave it a week or so and come back and do it again. Then a month and do it again. You see the kind of effect you're having on the person? They're not quite sure what they're opposing. They're not quite sure there is something to oppose. In fact, they're just freaked out, spooked by it, destabilized by it. And they're not sure, in fact, if they're hearing things or not. You get it? These are the kind of subtle tactics which are being deployed against you by this psychological warfare campaign. It's designed to destabilize you. Now, there are other aspects of that destabilization. Let's take one. There's news going around right now from another fake source, a CIA fake source, that soon you require approval from the Homeland Security, not for travel outside the United States or through the United States by air, but for travel internally in the United States. You will require the approval of the Homeland Security Department. And there are various comments such as, hey, this kind of stuff went down well in the Soviet Union, didn't it? You know, this is the kind of stuff you see in a dictatorship. And you get a lot of that dictatorship stuff coming out of the likes of Rents.com, Alex Jones's InfoWars website, that this is a dictatorship, folks, that we're dealing with. Well, have I got news for you? You want to try a real dictatorship? And just then tell me the difference. In a real dictatorship, folks, you would know that you are in a dictatorship. Believe me, I'm not saying civil liberties are alive and healthy in the United States. And it's for sure that if the color of your skin is black, you're living in a completely different United States than everybody else. But for the majority of people, in the majority of situations, you can move around with reasonable freedom. I'm not saying it's perfect. Yes, there are CCTV cameras, but that is not the same as being at risk at any time of being hauled off and thrown in prison without redress, and where that kind of situation is something that affects the vast majority of the population who live as a result in fear. That is a real dictatorship. So what they are doing is they are creating the ambiance of a dictatorship by this kind of propaganda, along with substantive moves which are designed to reduce the civil liberties that you have available to you. But the hype is out of all proportion to the actual threat. And so they're using hype in order to intimidate you and destabilize you. That's why they keep ranting on about CCTV cameras and Homeland Security, etc., is they're trying to psych you out. That's why they're letting it drop through the Andrew Marr video that John Kerry, through the election, he's a skull and bones man, and he and George Bush are in it together, trying to destabilize you, trying to put you in fear and uncertainty. That is the prime objective of psychological warfare of this kind. And you've got to be very careful about this kind of stuff. Let me use an illustration. When the Nick Berg video hit the internet, this was of the beheading of Nick Berg, I was saying to people, please don't watch this stuff. And in fact, there were stories circulating on the internet that if you watched it carefully, you could see that it had been staged. You may remember that. And I've spoken about this before. And that there was evidence in there that you could see, like, that, say, one of the guys was wearing a Rolex watch who was supposed to be an Arab terrorist. Okay, get it? So that kind of material was in there, as you can see, again, using the same MO, in order to give you subtle clues that there is this kind of stuff going on and to try and intimidate you, but not enough hard evidence to actually empower you politically to stand up to it. So so I was telling people to, like, don't even watch it. And that's the key advice which I can give you in relation to all of this kind of material, is that even when you think it's relatively benign, it's carefully constructed psywar material that you're being exposed to. And this isn't happening on a small scale. This is happening on a grand scale all across the media at every level. I'll refer for illustration again to an email I had in during the week, which is about the use of the Dirty Harry genre of movies. Because it happened at a time when public confidence in police forces in general was diminished as a result of abusive police action. And at that very moment, we had the emergence of this Dirty Harry genre. And we have it still continuing. In fact, there is a series now about New Orleans post-Katrina, which portrays the police officers there as, well, being flawed individuals, but ultimately being the thin blue line that separates us from total anarchy. So it's sending a message that, you know, don't get too worked up about these kind of police issues, because we need these kind of individuals who don't necessarily follow the rules. We need them anyway. And therefore, Hollywood is clearly implicated in the achievement of political objectives in relation to US attitudes towards policing. So what you're going to see in the movie theaters is highly conditioned by psychological warfare requirements. That's why I'm saying to you that you've got to be careful about all of this material, and really the only way for you to protect yourself against this kind of psychological manipulation is to zone out of it all. Stop watching it, stop following it, stop paying attention to it, because they are wrecking your head carefully, systematically, and methodically. And they can and will do it. You can go and look at the Nick Berg video, like when that came out, and say, oh, look, I can see how this, that, and the other. Yeah, but what are you doing? You're watching psychologically traumatic material as you're going looking for the clues. So it has psychological trauma effect on you. Regardless of whether your intellectual mind is figuring out that, oh, this is bullshit, etc., that doesn't matter. That doesn't even matter to them. What matters to them is the psychological trauma or psychological destabilization results which they achieve, regardless of what your intellect thinks about the material. And that's our clue to more insights about the deep inner nature of what's going on. We're living in a psychological landscape, folks. That psychological landscape is the Matrix. And we'll get into the issue of you versus the Matrix after another break for music. This is Interpol and Pioneer to the Falls. Thanks to Hawk in the forum for the tip-off on this track. It is hard-hitting stuff, but it's a grabber. And have a listen, and I'll be right back after these guys let go of your testicles. You're on the next level on breakfornews.com.
Thank you.
to my heart. Girl, I know you try. You fly straight into my heart. You fly straight into my heart. But here comes the fall. It broke, I pull the black from the gray, but the soul can wait. I felt you so much today.
And you're very welcome back. You're on the Next Level on Break for News, and this is Fintan Dunn reporting. Right, I'd like to try and get into some of the issues about how this battle between the forces of oppression, as we like to call them, and those who are seeking freedom and liberty, is symptomatic and part of a bigger struggle between the desire and need and capacity for individuation and self-expression and the matrix, which is attempting to stop that. And I'd like to ease into that by focusing on one of the demonstrations which took place in relation to that Andrew Meyer incident. And that protest was by university students. And as they marched, they were chanting, "Hey, hey, ho, ho, police brutality's got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho, police brutality's got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho." Well, ho, ho, ho indeed. You see, the problem with that, and this is one of the things the system doesn't mind, is to engineer those who do care enough to do anything about what's going on, to engineer them into tired and predictable modes of behavior. You see, they can win that game easily. The hey, hey, ho, ho, police brutality's got to go game, where everybody goes along to a demonstration and then they listen to one or two speakers and then they all go home. And they can handle that at a political level. They've got all the money, they've got the media, they've got the political power. That's not a problem for them to handle that kind of resistance. The kind of resistance that's likely to be more of a problem is that which is expressed at an individual level through individuation and through individual self-expression. And to understand why that is, we have to look at what is the nature of the matrix. What is it? Well, there are two forces, if you like. within the universe. One is a force of novelty, and the other is a force of sameness. Sameness is the same force as gravity, and novelty is the same force as, well, you. Because you are completely novel and unique. You are a completely unique individual. But you're not quite as unique when you're marching along with a lot of others, chanting exactly what they're chanting, are you? And you're not behaving in a unique and novel way. You're behaving in a tired and predictable way. So I'd like to propose to you that you can also resist the New World Order in a different way, or a complementary way. By all means, use political structures if you think that they're going to advance your cause. But you've got to watch political structures, because the very nature and purpose of political structures is to prevent the full manifestation of your capacity for self-determination and unique self-expression. That's what politics is designed to do. By definition, politics and voting is being in the business of letting somebody else do your talking for you. And I'd like to put it to you that you can also resist the New World Order, and in a very effective way, by standing in front of a mirror, looking yourself squarely in the eye, and saying out loud and with conviction, I refuse to allow anything or anybody to limit my personal self-determination or my capacity for self-expression. And I put it to you that if people were to affirm that strongly and then act on that conviction, that would resist the New World Order as effectively, if not more effectively, than any mechanism of political action. It has the terrific advantage that it's not relying on anybody else to do it. It's not asking Hillary Clinton or some leader or anybody else to save you. It's not asking Jesus to save you. It's not asking anything external to do or represent or empower you. It's making a personal affirmation from within yourself to express, to be. The book stops with you. Because there doesn't require there to be an external New World Order in order to oppress you. We are quite capable of oppressing ourselves. We are, each one of us, our own walking New World Order. The New World Order is alive and well and operating within our brains, within the confines of your skull, and it can repress you quite effectively and directly within your own brain. In this battle between sameness and novelty, then conformity is clearly sameness in action. And we conform in so many ways to social expectations, to roles in which we try to fit into. We conform to the expectations of others. When you meet your parents, for example, don't you conform to how they expect you to be, or maybe even to how they think you are based on who you were 5, 10, 15 or 20 years ago? And if you conform to that expectation which they have of you, are you expressing yourself or are you conforming? And is your decision to act in a certain way, whether it's with a partner or with a parent or with a boss or whoever wants you to behave in certain ways, is your decision to just go along with the expectation which they have? Is that you oppressing yourself? Well, of course it is. These kind of issues go to the heart of the process of individuation, which Carl Jung studied and wrote about, which is that uniqueness which is present within each of us, which is often not fully expressed because of social reasons. And the clown or joker is the manifestation of this anarchic desire to go against the rules of conformity. Every comedian is expressing that joker mentality, which is questioning the unquestioning conformity, which forms a part of our daily routine. Routine and religion being very close to each other in terms of the roots of those words. And if you like routine, well, that's okay. Some people like sleeping all day, but it's not living, is it? No, novelty is the enemy of routine. And there's present in each one of us a total uniqueness, fully expressed, not half expressed, not expressed a little bit in a half-assed way every now and again, but fully and constantly expressed. And yet we find ourselves, instead of expressing it, we find ourselves like a chick waiting to hatch, that instead of hatching, we're running around and around inside the egg, never daring to crack through and emerge. That's the challenge of individuation. And the shell which surrounds us is of our own construction and is our own personal new world order. And largely speaking, it wins that battle every day. It keeps winning because it's so close, it's deep within us. It's not external. This is the matrix of social expectation, the matrix of routine, the matrix of behavior, the matrix of belief, of believing in things because everybody else believes them. Is that a limiting factor? Well, suppose everybody believed that it was appropriate to dress in a certain style, every single person wearing the same kind of clothing in a uniformity typical of the Cultural Revolution in China. Would that be right? Or would that be sameness winning and people yielding to the coercion of the social conformity which is producing that sameness? And if you challenged it, would they lock you away? Would they look at you funny? Would they wonder if you were crazy? And if they did, would you care? Or would you simply be different, be you? This is the battleground, and it's a million miles away from hey, hey, ho, ho. Police brutality's got to go, hey, hey, ho, ho. To be or not to be, that is the question. And if you decided to be completely unique, to be you, to express all that latent individuality which is present within you, if you decided to do that, if you decided that no, you wouldn't actually show up at work at 9 o'clock tomorrow, just like you showed up yesterday at 9 o'clock and the day before at 9 o'clock and the day before at 9 o'clock, well, then you might lose your job. And if you lost your job, you might lose your house. And if you lost your house, you might end up on the street. And if you ended up on the street, you might be a vagrant and you might starve. But would that be, in fact, the right decision? Would that be the best way of cracking out of the egg and emerging? And if it was the correct decision, do you have the courage to do it? This is the battleground. This is the battle against the new world order. And it's a behavioral battle. And it's a psychological battle. And it's happening right now within you, within your mind. And I'm saying that that is the front line of your battle against the new world order. And I'm not suggesting that you do end up homeless and on the street in order to achieve individuation. I'm suggesting that you do it smart, but that you do it, that you make that affirmation, that you are refusing to allow anything or anybody to restrict your self-determination or limit your capacity for individuation, self-expression of you. And the converse of that rather negative refusal to allow others to impede or anything to impede is the positive statement that you will yourself act at all times to maximize your capacity for self-expression and self-determination. And if you do, you better have the guts that it takes to achieve that, because if there's one thing that those who have not made that kind of determination hate more than anything else, it's somebody who has. And you know that from the movie The Matrix. The world is full of Agent Smiths who all look like each other and who want to stop your upward flight to break free of the Matrix. And your relationship to them in this is that they are the new world order. All those Agent Smiths in your life. All those Agent Smiths who want to drag you back down into sameness and prevent you from uniquely expressing. And that is your front line in the New World Order. The battle against the New World Order is at multiple levels. It is at that level of thought and intellect wherein you determine what it is the world is and how you're going to respond to it, the nature of the world, the true underlying nature of the world and what that is. It's at the social and familial level in terms of conditioning, and it's at the political level in terms of mind games like Andrew Marr and other social conditioning mechanisms, all of which are manifestations of the attempt by the matrix structure to hold us back. And that matrix structure is in fact us. It is an aspect of us. And I'm saying that it's possible to break free of it, that it is possible to soar out of the matrix, and that when you soar out of the matrix, you achieve levels of self-expression and self-determination you never dreamed were possible. And you begin to see things as they really are, and not as they have been constructed by the behavioral system which surrounds us. And I'm saying furthermore that it's possible to see even outside the confines of one very important shell which surrounds us, and that is the shell of identity which we have as a specific individual right now, as what you call yourself by your name. That in fact you are bigger even than that, that you are not restricted by your current identity, your human identity, and that death is an illusion, and that you are a being who transcends space and time. So you can break out even of that box to come to a realization of your transcendent nature. And those are some of the issues that we've explored on treeincarnation.com. And so that's what I'm into, folks, is getting to the next level, and the next level after that, and the one after that, until we reach the point where everybody is breaking free of the matrix all around us. That's the only game in town, folks. That's why we're here. Not to run around inside the eggshell, but to crack through it, to emerge, and to fly. And that's beyond mere politics. And it deals with the intellectual, behavioral, psychological, psyche, attitudinal, and many other levels. And I hope that you'll continue to discuss these issues in the forum, these deeper issues as well as the political ones, and to join me here on these explorations on the next level and on treeincarnation.com as we explore what it takes to break fully free of the matrix. For me, that's what this is all about, is questioning, questioning, and questioning some more until we all get to the point where we can break free of the matrix, folks, and fly. And I'd like to thank you for joining me today for this edition. Look forward to your company again. It is great to be back. And I am looking forward to more shows and more good guests on these shows. And I hope you'll join me for that. But in the meantime, for breakfornews.com, this has been Fit and Done reporting.
Will you always keep me warm? Hold me safe and away from home. Keep day for night, and as the day fades, burn a candle bright for me. Will you always keep me warm? Hold me safe and away from home. Keep day for night, and as the day fades, burn a candle bright for me. Walking into the sun.